Hi, friends. Again, thank you for coming to church. And I want to thank those of you who are joining us online as well. We're thrilled you're here. As we enter a new year, we spent a number of months thinking and praying about what God wanted me to teach at Capital's weekend gatherings. And we kept circling a favorite and familiar passage from the Psalms. So, friends, today we begin a series that we're calling Never Alone. We're going to work verse by verse through Psalm 23 so we can learn together how to live the with God life. Now, even if you don't have a church background, even if you aren't a person of faith, the chances are high you've heard of Psalm 23. Most of you know Psalm 23 by heart, or at least you think you do. We know it as the psalm of comfort, the psalm of provision, the psalm we turn to in hospital rooms, at gravesides, or in moments when life feels thin and fragile. And look, all that's true. Peace and provision are all present. Green pastures, still waters, restored souls, a lavish feast, a cup that overflows. But if we slow down, if we listen to the psalm more carefully, we begin to notice something even deeper than peace and provision. Running beneath every single line, presence. This psalm is not just about what God gives. It's about who God is and where God is. He is not a distant provider sending blessings from afar. He is a shepherd who walks with his sheep. Because provision flows from his presence. Comfort comes from closeness. And peace grows, not from having everything we want, but from knowing we're never alone. There's a phrase used by Dallas Willard and others in the spiritual formation tradition to describe this kind of life. It's not a phrase most of us grew up with. It might even sound a little strange at first. They called it the with God life. The idea is simple but profound. Life in God's kingdom is not mainly about living for God, it's about living with God. So this series is an invitation. It's an invitation to slow down, to open your eyes, and become more aware of the God who is already near. Friends, whether you're new to faith or curious about faith or fully committed to Christ and his kingdom, I pray that in this season and through this series, you will cultivate an ever-increasing, always flourishing, intimate and interactive relationship with the Almighty God. I want to begin by reading the song in its entirety. Psalm 23 reads, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Will you pray with me? Lord, this psalm has proven itself priceless to countless people through the ages because it offers timeless truth and timely comfort. I pray we find both today. We're all in different seasons of life, and we all have different needs. But you know exactly what we need. And it may not be what we think. So I pray that every person in the room leaves this building with everything they really need. And I pray that especially includes an abiding sense of your presence with them. We pray this together. In the name of our generous King Jesus, amen. Earlier I asked, if you were an animal, what kind would you be? And then asked someone about theirs. I bet you heard some interesting responses. Now, without outing anybody, did anyone hear something unexpected? What'd you hear? Parrot. 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 Either one's great. What else? Come on, come on. Otter? Dolphin? What was that?
Giraffe?
Seahorse? What was that? A meerkat. Okay, okay. Now, I can tell you what I choose to be, but it's not very interesting. See, I'd want to be a puppy. Not just a dog, a puppy. A soft and fluffy puppy that never grows old and stays small and cute forever. But my reasons for my pick probably aren't particularly healthy. Everybody loves a puppy. Everybody wants to pet a puppy. If you bring a puppy into a room, that puppy immediately becomes the center of attention. I told you I didn't have a good reason to pick a puppy. Additionally, people give lots of grace to a puppy. If your puppy chews your Jimmy Chews, it's okay. He's so cute. He's so soft. Now, if you asked me a few years ago, I think I'd choose something different. I might have said that I'd want to be a bunny. See, I used to be a bunny daddy. Some of you got to meet Blue some years ago. This is him. Blue is an adorable Holland Lop, and he was the softest animal on planet Earth, okay? Blue came from a long line of champion show rabbits. When we adopted him, we met his mother and a few of his siblings, but we didn't meet his father because he was being shown at a rabbit competition in Japan. Now, the only reason we were able to adopt Blue is that his ears were too long to qualify for competition. Alas, that put an end to my lifelong dream of dominating the world of rabbit pageantry. But before he passed away, Blue got very sick. Blue was host to a dangerous parasite. Treatment required us to administer a 25-day course of medicine. You ever tried to medicate a rabbit? It's like trying to force feed a squirrel. But everything would have been easier if Blue just trusted me. Rabbits aren't like dogs or even cats. They're so low on the food chain, they instinctively evade capture, which means Blue didn't like to be grabbed. Even though it was for his own good, he'd resist and run. And when we held him, he didn't want to do anything against his will. Everything would have been easier if Blue just trusted me. Ironically, Blue's fear of circumstances was more dangerous than his circumstances. See, the safest place Blue could be is in my arms. But his fear would drive him to do something dumb. See, if you pick up a rabbit, you have to be careful to support their hind legs. Because when bunnies are afraid, bunnies kick. And scared bunnies can kick so hard, they can even break their own backs. Blue didn't get it in his fear. The safest place he could be is in my arms. He didn't understand everything would have been easier if Blue just trusted me. Blue had a lot of trouble learning that. And so do I. I need to learn that I'm in God's arms. I can trust him to provide for me, to protect me, to guide me. The problem is my fear. The fear of not having what I need when I think I'll need it. That fear drives me to fuss and fume and fret. I make careless decisions with costly consequences. Now, I want to be free of fear because fear makes me miserable. And fear makes me do dumb things. And those dumb things make me make my bad things worse things. Are you haunted by a fear of not having enough? Enough money or wisdom or time or talent? Is the fear of not having enough robbing you of joy? Oh, imagine being free of fear. Imagine facing financial pressure without panic. Imagine facing failure without sinking into despondency. Imagine facing an angry colleague or a bad diagnosis or a maddening bureaucracy without losing your cool, but approaching the problem with confidence and courage and faith. Oh, friends, I believe we can get there. But it's going to require us to change the way we think about God's character and our crises. There's a saying we use from time to time around capital to express what I mean. Oh, imagine if you lived each day with an unshakable belief that God will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. Well, Psalm 23 shows us how to get there. Look with me at the first verse of this Psalm of David. It reads, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, as you read these words, consider where the author David was when God called him to be king. He was a shepherd tending sheep. That means this is a personal image for David. But in this poem, David isn't the shepherd. God is the shepherd, which means David is the sheep. It's fascinating that the mighty King David would self-identify as a sheep. He could have chosen a more potent image for himself, yeah? Why not a lion or a bear? If he were looking for a herded animal, why not a bull? Who wants to be a sheep? To my knowledge, no sports team has adopted the sheep as their mascot. Tigers, Broncos, Cowboys, Raiders. You never hear about the St. Louis Lambs. That's because sheep are defenseless. They're helpless. Sheep are known for their dependence. Sheep are creatures whose safety and sustenance are utterly contingent on the character of their shepherd. Sheep are needy, and they know it. But sheep are okay with this. And look, when I remember I'm not a leopard or a lion, I'm a sheep with a shepherd, I don't feel fear, I feel freedom to be as needy as I need to be. In Mark 6, when Jesus withdrew from the crowds, he got on a boat to sail across the Sea of Galilee. But the people were so desperate for his words, they followed him on foot, racing around the other side to the other side of the shore. Mark 6:34 reads, "When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things." Are you living like a sheep without a shepherd? Are you fretting or frustrated because it's all up to you? Every outcome, every deadline, every need. Is the pressure weighing on your soul? But what if you actually believed God will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do? Many of us are familiar with the traditional translation of verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Some think this means, because God is my shepherd, I should be perfectly satisfied in him and I shouldn't want anything. But Psalm 23 is not talking about my desires, it's talking about my needs. The Hebrew verb to want is chaser. Chaser means to lack. It means to have nothing. Our contemporary translation gets it right as it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." See, verse 1 of Psalm 23 speaks about God's provision. The good God provides for his people like a good shepherd provides for his flock. Now, when we think of God's provision, we often limit the scope to food and shelter. We think primarily of monetary provision for physical needs. And look, it's certainly true. Our shepherd can be trusted to provide food and shelter for sheep. But friends, we're thinking too small. And that shows up in how we live. We believe that our shepherd can be counted on to provide for our bare bones basic needs, but everything else, that's up to you and me. We've got to fight to get anything more out of life. But that's not the proper understanding of a shepherd in the ancient Near East. Shepherds loved their sheep like children, sometimes laying down their lives for them. When we assume God's provision is a promise of scarcity, we greatly underestimate our shepherd. See, verse 1 means God will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. Do you believe that? Now, you might agree with it conceptually or theoretically. You might have memorized a few passages of the Bible that say the same thing. But do you live like you believe it's true? Do you live like you believe God will give you everything you need to do, everything he wants you to do? Because that's true whether you believe it's true or not. I don't always live like it's true. Some days, I wonder if God's given me enough time to do everything he wants me to do. I run about frantically, afraid that I can't get it all done. There isn't enough time. There isn't enough money. I don't have enough talent. I don't have enough wisdom. Well, all of that would make sense if I didn't have a shepherd. But I have a shepherd. What if I started to live like it? What if each morning, before your feet hit the ground, you say to yourself, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. You give me everything I need to do, everything you want me to do." Friends, when I live like this is true, I enjoy life a lot more. And people enjoy being around me a lot more. Look, maybe you think God wants you to sort it all out yourself. I often hear people quote the well-known Bible verse, "God helps those who help themselves." Folks, that's not even in the Bible. It's from Ben Franklin's Poor Richard's Almanac, circa 1736. Believe it or not, contrary to the wisdom of the brilliant man on the $100 bill, our Lord has designed life to be lived in dependence upon him. In case we missed it, he embedded it in a prayer he invites us to pray regularly. We often call it the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6, verse 11, we'll read a portion of it. "Give us today our daily bread." See, the inclusion of this petition would be a welcome relief to the audience of Jesus. The average person in ancient Israel lived paycheck to paycheck. Now, I know that could be said for many here in the United States. But the difference is, their paychecks came daily. And they spent them only on everyday necessities. That means if you didn't get paid today, your family wouldn't eat tomorrow. You can understand how seriously they would take sickness or injury. A simple case of the flu or a broken bone could mean crisis for an average household. So Jesus encouraged his followers to pray that God would provide, but not just on occasion or every once in a while. He invites them to ask him every single day. And he invites you as well. God will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. He cares deeply for your needs. So let me ask you, what do you need? Maybe you need money. Maybe the bills are coming due, and you don't know where the money's going to come from. Maybe you're asking God to heal your body, but it hasn't happened. Maybe you're begging for God to heal your marriage, but the arguments are getting louder. The distance is growing greater. Maybe you've got a crucial conversation coming, and you're praying not just for the right words, but for the right way to say those words, so they don't just get said, they get heard. Well, Jesus invites you to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." Oh, let's not overlook that word "daily." Why would he want us to pray it daily? Well, take one of my regular prayers. I find myself praying most days for wisdom. I regularly wonder if I'm going to have enough wisdom to lead this church. Some days it appears doubtful. I'd love to simply pray that prayer once and never have to pray it again, because I got all I need in one moment. Why doesn't God do it that way? Again, I think it's because we're designed to be dependent. If God gave me everything I needed for the rest of my life, I'd be more likely to go solo and miss out on the everyday relationship he wants to have with me. Oh, but we can trust him, friends. I like the way Andy Stanley says it. You've got to learn that God takes full responsibility for the life fully devoted to him. Do you believe that? Do you live like God is fully responsible for your life? Or do you race about like everything depends upon you? Do you lose sleep believing deep down that you've got the whole world in your hands? Well, what if you believed God will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. Now, friends, this is different than saying God will give you everything you need to do everything you want to do. God doesn't give us everything we want. Any good parent discerns between a child's needs and a child's perception of a need. A child may be absolutely certain that she needs another labubu. A child may be categorically convinced he can't survive without a samurai sword. But a good parent knows which needs to meet, and so does a good shepherd. Though we can't expect the sheep to fully understand, can we? Oh, but we can trust that God will give us everything we need to do everything he wants us to do. Here's the truth. I believe God will give me everything I need. But God and I don't always agree on what I need. See, I can make this really simple for God. I think he should bless me professionally and relationally and intellectually and financially. I have a dollar figure in mind if that would help. But over the years I found sometimes God's lack of provision is his provision. Sometimes God blesses us by not blessing us, because blessing us would not be a blessing to us, at least in the long run. From time to time, the lovely people of Capital drop by the church office with food, especially during the holidays. I'm telling you, it's one of the finest perks of being a pastor. They bring in the most spectacular cuisines. It's never healthy. And it's usually some kind of chocolate blessing. Okay? Well, this Christmas, I prayed a particular prayer. I prayed that God would send someone with a plate of homemade brown butter chocolate chip cookies with no nuts. And I prayed fervently that God would send someone with a plate of homemade brown butter chocolate chip cookies with no nuts. Now, friends, I should probably tell you, I have fierce emotional attachments to food. In fact, the only thing that rivals my passion for food is my hatred of exercise. Look, I could make an argument before you. Cookies are salad. Think about it. Cookies are made with flour. Flour comes from a plant, which means cookies are salad. Huh? Well, this Christmas, my soul longed for a plate of homemade brown butter chocolate chip cookies with no nuts. And God heard my cries for a brown butter blessing. But God also knows my battle with chub. In spite of my petitions, God's love for me wins the day. And I never receive a plate of homemade brown butter chocolate chip cookies with no nuts. See, sometimes God's lack of provision is his provision. God knows what I need, and God knows what I don't need, even if I think I need it. Conversely, God knows what I do need, even if I'm convinced I don't. David Benner maintained, "Unwelcome circumstances are not gifts, but they may contain a gift." And his wonderful book on prayer, Pete Gregg relays a story from the life of Corrie ten Boom. Gregg writes, "Corrie ten Boom's family helped Dutch Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust during the Second World War. They were eventually caught, and Corrie was sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp with her sister Betsy, who later died there. Corrie endured unimaginable horrors, yet her life was marked by an unshakable trust in her heavenly Father and was punctuated by prayer. She seems to have lived in an almost continual conversation with God, asking and trusting her heavenly Father for everything. If a care is too small to be turned into a prayer, she said, it's too small to be made into a burden." Now, praying in this way, Gregg writes, the two sisters managed to live with extraordinary joy until the day they were transferred to a dormitory infected with fleas. Finally, they began to despair. What possible purpose could their loving father have in allowing their dire conditions to get even worse? But then, noticing that the brutal camp guards refused to enter their new quarters for fear of the fleas, they realized that God was using the fleas to provide them with a safe place for ministering to other prisoners undisturbed. Somehow those two indomitable sisters even began thanking their father for the fleas. Friends, think about this. What we keep asking God to take away might be the very thing he's using to take care of us. Oh, come to Jesus with your needs. Ask him for a miracle. Pray big, bold prayers and keep praying them. But trust him to answer your prayers as he deems best. And don't be surprised if he gives you something you didn't ask for. Maybe you're asking him to fix your marriage. Don't be surprised if he starts with your temper. Maybe you're asking him to fix your finances. Don't be surprised if he starts with your faith. God wants you to trust that he will give you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. So what do you need today? Maybe you need resources. You need funding for your company. You need discipline to live within your means. Maybe it's strength. Physical strength to endure chronic illness. Emotional strength to endure a difficult person. Maybe you need a thicker skin to deal with the blistering criticism of your mother. Or even the gentle feedback of a spouse. Maybe you need God to reset your soul because the way you've been living isn't truly living. Maybe you need God to bring you favor with people in power or funding from people with provision. Maybe you just need peace because the truth is, if God fixed all of your problems today, you'd still worry, wondering what the next problem might be tomorrow. What do you need? Well, maybe the better question is, who do you need? Friends, Psalm 23 paints a picture of what life with God is supposed to be like. In six short verses, we find images of a reality that few of us experience, but all of us should embrace. But the key to doing so is getting your eyes off of what you need and on to who you need. I like the way Jennifer Rothschild puts it. She says, sheep learn to associate the shepherd with their needs being met. When that happens, the shepherd becomes their focus, not their needs. They shall not want, not because they have an all-you-can-eat buffet set before them, but because they have their shepherd with them. She confesses, before I studied Psalm 23, or really, before Psalm 23 studied me, I thought I needed to be in control when I actually needed to be cared for. I thought I needed to be brave when I really needed most to be held. Do you need to be held today? If you do, let's ask him to. Pray with me. Lord, in this moment, I ask you to open our eyes to see that you are here. You're always here. I pray you open our eyes to recognize your presence on big days, bad days, busy days. Help us to realize that you're right alongside us, wanting to have an interactional conversation with us throughout our day. Not in any way that would be a burden, but in a way that would bring light and life. Lord, I pray for all of us here, and no matter where we are in the journey, even for people who don't know you or don't know you well, I pray they come to know you as their shepherd too. We pray that in the name of the King. Amen. In a few moments, we're going to continue worshiping. But before we do, I'm going to give you a little homework. Here's your first assignment. And by the way homework works at Capital, we invite you to participate in spiritual practices through your week. Not to check a spiritual box, not to earn any Jesus points. We invite you to do so, so that you could put yourself in His presence, so you could know Him, and then let Him work in you and work through you, right? Here's your first assignment for the week. I'm going to encourage you to ask Jesus to be your shepherd. Now, a lot of you have done this already. Some of you aren't ready, but for those who are, I'm going to invite you. Make that decision. Ask Jesus to be your shepherd. He's here. You can trust Him. Here's another assignment. I want you to fill in this blank. I live like I lack blank. Take a little time. Think about what goes in that blank. It might be 2 or 3 or 12 things. Okay? Think about what goes in your blank and then talk to God about what you find there. Third, I'm going to invite you to pray through Psalm 23 each day. Okay? Now, again, this is not a legalistic practice. This is not about earning God's favor. It is not a good luck charm to make your day go better. That's not what Psalm 23 will do. Psalm 23, however, is a way to put yourself in God's presence and put your mind in the right place each day. And I know that's what I need so desperately. So I'm going to invite you to take on this challenge. Every day, we're going to be in this series for about 7 weeks. Every day, I'm going to encourage you to go to Him. And with Psalm 23, and you just start reading it, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Here I usually insert, "You give me everything I need to do, everything you want me to do." Work through it with Jesus each day. It doesn't take long, but it might just shape the next 2 months of your life and beyond. Okay? Now, I want to give you a verse for the week. It is the entire chapter, or the entire psalm, Psalm 23. Now, here's what we've done. We've put this psalm on a graphic. I know you can't see it on this screen, but what we're going to ask you to do is go to our website. We'll upload it today. Go to our website and download this graphic when you come to the link for this message, okay? It's pretty intuitive. You can get there. Use this graphic of Psalm 23 to help you grow in Jesus, okay? So that image and the graphic I've been showing you both will be available to download there. Now, before we continue worshiping, I want to offer this blessing. Friends, I don't know where your path has taken you on your journey, but wherever you find yourself today, may you find the faith to live like you have a shepherd who gives you everything you need to do everything He wants you to do. Grace and peace.
Would you stand and worship with me? Let's sing this together. All my words fall short.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and You never do. Oh, I throw my hands and praise You again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I have nothing else fit for step for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms straight wide, I will worship you. Sing it out. So I throw my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else before a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So come on, my soul. Don't you get shy, only lift up your soul. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those eyes. Get up and praise the Lord. It's Jesus. Now come on, my soul. Don't you get shy, only lift up your soul. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those eyes. Get up and praise the Lord. And come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those arms. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, get up and praise the Lord. Get up and praise the Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Can you sing that out this morning?
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Let's sing that one more time.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath and our love. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath and our love, so we pour out our praise. You only, it's your breath and our love, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath and our love, so we pour out our praise.
Let's sing that one more time.
It's your breath and our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. And great are you, Lord.
Well, Capital Church family, we are so grateful that you are here this morning. And I don't know about you, but I simultaneously loved that message and kind of hated that message. But I just want to help you and I both to stay out of shame. And I want to just make sure, I think I'm using this word right. I want to get the barometer correct. there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. And Psalm 23 is a psalm of comfort, not of condemnation. And so any conviction that you or I feel, that's the gentle nudge of our good shepherd, not saying shame on you, but saying, oh, you figured it out. Now invite me to step into it with you. Invite me to step into it with you. And let's keep you out of shame. And let's keep your head up. And let's keep your spirit up. And let's remember, like Troy said, us sheep, when we remember that we are sheep, we should feel the freedom to feel needy, to feel high maintenance, to feel like he got us in over our heads. But remembering that Andy Stanley quote, God takes full responsibility for a life fully devoted to him. So I know Troy already offered a benediction, a blessing, but we're just going to pile blessing on you as you go into this week ahead. So as you go into this week and into this new and incredible year full of potential, may you live the good news of Jesus. That 2,000 years ago, the good shepherd came, and today and tomorrow, the good shepherd is with you. And the good shepherd will give you everything you need. And here's part of the hard part. Nothing that you don't. Will you trust that he will give you everything you need and nothing that you don't to do everything he is calling you to do in this season? Thank you so much for coming. We will see you next week. Grace and peace.